welcome to a special mini episode of the Star Trek Discovery Recap Freecast. I'm Anita Sarkeesian, and joining me to discuss the brand new trailer for the upcoming series Picard is my commanding officer, Admiral Ebony Adams.
Hello, Anita.
Wait, are you a commanding? Are you a commanding officer if you're an admiral?
Yeah, I oversee you. And I have a lot to say about your performance.
Oh, you're my commanding
officer.
Wow, words.
Correct. I got a promotion.
Why did I just read that without reviewing it first?
This is, again, one of the things I'm going to have to talk to you about in your performance review.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, so Marvel fans weren't the only ones who got a special treat at Comic-Con this July. If you're a Star Trek fan, you already know that there's a brand new series on the horizon that focuses on what happens to everyone's favorite winemaker and amateur archaeologist, Jean-Luc Picard, after he retires from Starfleet. Well, a new trailer for the show just dropped, and we're here to react to it. Ebony, let's talk about our reactions to this trailer.
I'm pretty excited. I have to admit, I was kind of slow to get on board, but with this new trailer, I'm all in. The familiar faces, you know, like Jean-Luc saying engage, you know, it hit all my Star Trek buttons.
It really did. So I actually, there's a teaser trailer that came out a few months ago that was just sort of Picard and his orchards. And then you're like, and then it's just like a dog, and then it just says Picard, and you're like, what is this? It was really smart. Like, I was kudos to that marketing team. And then this trailer came out, and I was like, wow, this is really like, I'm kind of excited for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are a couple of familiar faces in the trailer. One is Data. We see him disassembled at the very beginning, and then you actually see him talking to Picard. I had just watched an interview with the cast, and I was like, oh, is he talking to Data in, like, the holodeck or something? But I think he's actually fully back.
Yeah, like, I think so, too. And I'm guessing that, you know, there's, thanks to the magic of, like, modern technology, there's some CGI magic going on. Because otherwise, I mean, you know, Brent Spiner looks great, but he has clearly aged, and Data would not have aged.
Right, so. But if you're not human and you're like an android, you wouldn't age. So yeah, I was wondering
how, like, that was going to work. And so to see him at the tail end of that trailer, oh my God. And apparently, we don't see them in this trailer, but Riker's going to be in it. Troy's going to be in it. And Geordi, they teased, but is going to be in it. I'm so excited.
Oh, really? I heard about Riker and Troy, but I didn't hear about Geordi, so that's kind of cool. Yeah. I gotta say, I'm very surprised at how delighted I was at the end of the trailer to see Seven of Nine.
You know,
like,
what, me too.
My face lit up, and I was like, I think part of it is because I'm forgetting the name of the woman who plays Seven of Nine, but
Jerry
she was
Ryan.
On Leverage as well. Yes, thank you, Therry. She was on Leverage as well, which was a show that I mostly really liked, and she kind of like pops into shows.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she's an actor that like comes in when you need like the hot chick to like boost ratings or whatever, right? And so her role on Voyager was kind of contentious for a lot of reasons. Like, she came in to sort of spice up the show, to make it more palatable to, like, young male viewers. But at the same time, I really loved that character, and I loved that relationship
Janeway?
Ebony? Yes.
Oh, my God. Full disclosure, folks. We're
I'm
recording
sitting in a really
a
hot
Sunday
closet
night,
right now.
And clearly we picked the wrong time to do this.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. Not that you're not used to this. But anyway, I was so delighted to see that. And I'm curious to see, like, because I loved that relationship so much. Like, I'm really curious to see what that relationship will feel like with Picard. Because, you know, like, obviously the big thing is that there you see a Borg cube. And you're like, oh, this is going to be one of those kinds of stories. And so Seven of Nine is probably going to be there as giving, like, advising, right? And explaining things and working in that kind of capacity, I would assume.
Yeah, and I did not recognize the character slash actor, but apparently we also see Hugh, if you remember from the Next Generation episode, I, Borg, who was another, you know, sort of iconic Borg character that we came across after, you know, Captain Picard had his horrific and traumatizing experience upon the Borg cube. I just love the way that there's something clearly new, but that they have given the fans these, you know, like, kind of beloved touchstones to say, you know, to kind of, you know, smooth away a little bit and ease us in, but also provide for us the things that, you know, we kind of missed. So one of the things that happened with Star Trek Discovery while it was finding its footing is that so much of it was new. In fact, it might have been too much that was new all at once for people. And then we got this, you know, season two, and we saw, you know, we got Christopher Pike and we got Spock and everybody, and it all seemed to gel much better and become just start to feel more Star Trek-y. This just seems to be starting off super strong in that way. I also want to shout out Hanalei Culpepper, who is the director of many episodes in this season. First Black woman director of a Star Trek show. So shout out Hanalei Culpepper. She's the bomb.
Cool. So one thing Patrick Stewart talked about is how he was like, I do not want to do Next Generation again. Mm-hmm. And I do not want to be in a uniform. Like, those were these huge stipulations
I love
that he had
that.
To agree to do this show. Yeah. And so it'll be really interesting to see how, you know, Patrick Stewart is such a phenomenal actor, right? Mm-hmm. And he was such, like, I think he's just one of the absolute most memorable captains in Star Trek of all the captains, right?
Yeah.
For sure. And a lot of it is his warmth and his gravitas and just like how Patrick Stewart is such a wonderful actor. And so I'm really curious to see what he does, like, you know, 20 years out mm-hmm. from the last time we saw Jean-Luc Picard, what that's going to mean to him. And like, you know, he's kind of bored, right? Like he's over, he doesn't want to be on land anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. And so this, it appears that this young woman comes to him and says, I have this problem. And he's like, this is the best excuse for me
right?
to get out of this life that I just can't deal with anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's just too normal. I watched the trailer a couple of times. I do have some concerns about race. Mm-hmm. In terms of like human race, right? Like mm-hmm. it seemed very white to me. And looking at the main cast, mm-hmm. you know, it's a lot of white people, which feels a little bit weird given how Discovery was trying to be a lot better in terms of race.
Yeah,
I don't know what you thought about that.
Well, I mean, just looking at, like, if you go to IMDb and just check out the actors who are involved in the show, it does seem as if we've got some people of, you know, non-white, non-Western European ancestry. Michelle Hurd, obviously, is going to be a big part of the show. excuse me. And there's some other folks. But, yeah, it doesn't have kind of the, you know, delightfully kind of diverse cast, you know, that Discovery does and that I and many other people are absolutely in love with. But I think, yeah, it's always a question when you're talking about genre shows, like sci-fi shows, right? Because the way that that like writers and showrunners will represent race, rather than having like non-white members of the core cast, instead, folks will be engaging with non-humans, right? And those become kind of stand-ins for actual human races, which is always fucked up and problematic. So I'll be interested to see, you know, where this goes. But I have to say, just in terms of gender, lots of boss-ass ladies in this show. So very excited for this. I'm just excited. Like, I saw the trailer for the first time, I think this morning, and I can't wait. I don't actually know when the show premieres. I know season 3 of Discovery is probably going to hit like around January. But I don't think we have a release date in 2020 yet for Picard. We have too long. Now that I've seen this, is whatever I'm thinking the time we have is too long.
I think they're still in like some production and stuff too. So
oh,
I
yeah,
think it's
going to
be a minute. I think it's going to be a minute. So, yeah. I'm really excited about it. I think that we hopefully will chat about that more on this show.
What if we, like, you know, we start doing season 3 of Discovery and then Picard debuts and we like it better and we just drop Discovery like midway through the season. Do you think
we'll
that
just
people
change
will
the name
riot?
Of the podcast?
All three of our listeners, right? One thing I want to say is I am interested to see how actiony this show is going to be, because apart from Picard, it's a pretty young fucking cast, right? You know, and it seemed like there was going to be lots of, you know, space punching, a lot of space shooting.
I'm sure there will
right,
be.
You know, but
that
but they're not
going to
make
the
Captain
MO,
Picard
yeah.
like run through corridors and store and, you know, shimmy up Jeffrey's soup. So I will be interested to see exactly what his role will be in the show, like how foundational he will be.
There was one shot that I was a little bit confused by, because in the dialogue they were talking about like you need a new crew and you're a captain again, but they showed this shot of what looked like a prison, because they mm-hmm. showed soldiers with guns, and then they showed people in uniforms, but so it was confusing because it looked almost like prison garb, but then when I looked at it a second time, it actually just looked like uniform, like Starfleet uniform. So I wasn't sure what the insinuation or what that shot was supposed to communicate to us. I have no theories about that.
Me either. And to be honest, I have not been reading a bunch about what this series is going to be about. We do know, again, that it's Picard, like 20 years after he retired from Starfleet. Apparently, it is set after the destruction of Romulus in the timeline of, you know, like the first Star Trek movie, the recent Star Trek movies. So it's that timeline after those events, right? So the kind of, you know, consequences and historical reverberations in that particular timeline, which is very interesting. And it's not the Star Trek that we got in Next Generation. So I expect there are going to be some kind of like key changes to things. And you know what? At this point, I'm going to let them cook. I'm excited. Take my money.
Yeah. I'm curious I almost want like a rewatch list of like, these are mm-hmm. the episodes and these are the movies that you should rewatch in preparation for this show. Like, mm-hmm. you know, unlike Discovery, I never really felt that impetus or felt sort of like I needed to know a bunch of stuff, or like I even wanted to go back and watch the original series. But for this one, I really am like, oh, should I just watch Next Generation again?
Well,
that would be such a horrible thing to have to do. But even I feel like, the movie, like, I only watched First Contact was the only Star Trek movie I watched outside of the Abrams mm-hmm. debacle, mm-hmm. which I try to pretend didn't exist. So I'm a little bit disappointed that it's that timeline. What?
I said hard disagree, but that's the subject of another mini episode.
What, do you disagree about Abrams movies?
Well, except the first one I really, really enjoyed. And I will, you know, admit that it's probably 75% just hardcore Star Trek love that made me kind of paper over any problems in it. But I really did enjoy the first Abrams movie. The subsequent ones I was less interested in, you know. I went to go see them. I've seen them. I mean, to any like non-Star Trek fan, you wouldn't be able to know that I didn't like the subsequent ones, because I've seen them just as much. But in my heart, I did not care for them as much as
the
what
truth
was it, like
of
the 2009
heart.
Yeah, the 2009, you know, like reintroduction to the Star Trek
cool
crew. Whatever, I'm excited.
All right.
I hope all of y'all are excited too, because
I'm excited.
I'm definitely gonna make Anita talk about this in 2020.
It's nice to be excited about a Star Trek thing.
I know.
You know, honestly, too, though, I think part of it is that, like, we didn't hate the last season of Discovery. Like, there
we
were definitely
not.
Some high points there. So for me, I'm not in a full I hate CBS Star Trek right now.
Right.
Like, I have warm feelings towards them.
Yeah.
So please, please don't fail us.
Don't fail
us. All right, y'all. Thanks for joining us for this tiny little episode bonus of our reactions to Picard. We will definitely try to pop our heads into here every now and again and give you some little tidbits of our thoughts about the Star Trek universe.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back before you know it, yelling our heads off about the third season of Star Trek Discovery when it returns to CBS All Access, or Netflix if you are in the rest of the world. Well, they make us pay for a second membership in the U.S. to everything, a subscription service, and then they just put on Netflix everywhere else. So, yay, capitalism.
Yeah, everything about America is trash right now, including this.
It's true. In the meantime, if you like our shows, including the flagship of the fleet, Feminist Frequency Radio, please help us keep making it. Head over to patreon.com/femfreak to become a show backer and get access to exclusive perks. And you know what else would be great? If you'd rate and review the show so that it's easier for other folks to find us. So that's it.
That's it.
Let's do this.
Thanks for joining us, folks.